Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Zion Lutheran Church this morning. A couple of announcements before we get started. The annual voters meeting is in 2 weeks. Got it right this time. Fantastic. Yep. 2 weeks immediately following the service. God's blessings on your worship. We sing our opening hymn, number 397. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Give the king your justice, O God.
And your righteousness to the royal son.
May he judge your people with righteousness.
And your poor with justice.
Let the mountains bear prosperity for the people.
And the hills in righteousness.
May he defend the cause of the poor of the people.
Give deliverance to the children of the needy and crush the oppressor.
May they fear you while the sun endures.
as long as the moon throughout all generations.
May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass,
like showers that water the earth.
In his days may the righteous flourish,
and peace abound till the moon be no more.
May he have dominion from sea to sea,
and from the river to the ends of the earth.
May desert tribes bow down before him,
and his enemies lick the dust.
May the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands render him tribute.
May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts.
May all kings fall down before him,
all nations serve him.
For he delivers the needy when he calls,
the poor and him who has no helper.
He has pity on the weak and the needy,
and saves the lives of the needy.
From oppression and violence he redeems their life,
and precious is their blood in his sight.
Long may he live.
May gold of Sheba be given to him.
May prayer be made for him continually,
and blessings invoked for him all the day.
In peace let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God,
by the leading of your star, you made known your only begotten Son to the Gentiles. Lead us, you know, by the Holy Spirit, to enjoy in heaven the fullness of your divine presence. Through the same
Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated for our readings. The Old Testament reading for the Epiphany of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall bring good news, the praises of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how this mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given: to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith together using the words of the Nicene Creed printed on the inside cover of your hymnal.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life,
who proceeds from
the Father and the Son, together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
You may be seated. This time the children are welcome to come forward for the children's message. There's more of you today. Some of them are mine, though. Good morning. Have you ever been on a really long trip anywhere? Yeah, you answered that really quickly. Where'd you go?
To Disney.
To Disney, Florida or California? Florida, yeah.
We went to Wisconsin.
Yeah. You went to the Dells? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been to the Dells a couple of times, haven't we? We've been on long trips. Yeah. Why do people take long trips? Yeah.
We went to Chicago for about 4 days.
Wow. Yeah. Have we ever taken long trips to go see people? Yeah, we have, haven't we? Yep. So people take long trips to go somewhere they really want to go and to see people they really want to see. Yes?
Yeah.
In our gospel reading today, were there some people that had just finished a really long trip?
Yeah.
Do you remember who it was? The wise men. Yeah, the wise men. Are they part of the Christmas story? Yeah, of course they are. Right? Do you know who the wise men were?
Yes.
Yeah, who are the wise men? Yeah, magi. Do you know what magi are? Yeah, there you go. Yeah. The Bible doesn't really tell us who the wise men were, where they were from. We can make some guesses, but the Bible doesn't really tell us. Why did the wise men travel so far? Jesus. Why did they want to see Jesus?
Because King Herod tried to trick them.
Well, he did, but before King Herod tried to trick them, why did they travel so far for a baby in Bethlehem?
Because they had gifts.
They did have gifts, yep. Yeah, he is a king. Were they from Jerusalem, the wise men? No, they were from far away. So, was Jesus their king?
Yes.
Yeah, what do they do when they meet Jesus? Well, you said they give him gifts. What do they give him?
Myrrh.
And frankincense, yep. They give him three, and gold, yep. They give him very expensive gifts. And then what do? Do they worship him? Yeah, so even though they're not from Jerusalem or they're not from the region around Israel, they still know that Jesus is their king, even though they're from really, really far away. Does that mean that Jesus is king of a few people or king of everybody?
King of everybody.
Does that mean he's your king?
Yeah.
Yep. And what do kings do for the people? Or what are they supposed to do? Do they love you? Do they protect you? Yeah. Does Jesus do that for us? Yeah. So even though sometimes it may seem like we're a long way away from Jesus, he's still our king. He still loves us, right? He still protects us, and he still serves us so much even that he died for us on the cross, didn't he? Yeah. Okay. Well, why don't you guys join me in prayer, and I'll let you go back to your seats, okay? Let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for being our King, for loving us and protecting us, and dying for us on the cross. Help us to share your love with others. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, you guys can go back to your seats. Thank you. We continue with our sermon hymn number 395.
Jacob's praise King David.
Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So in the early days of the Christian church, and by early I mean the century or so immediately following the time of the apostles, there were a number of seemingly insurmountable issues pressing on all sides that threatened to snuff out the fledgling church before it had even begun to prosper. Now, many of these struggles were external. You know, persecution continued to flow from Rome, courtesy of the emperor and the various governors he'd set in place, as Christianity threatened to dismantle the well-established Roman religious system, which was the basis of the empire's culture and power. But I would argue that the more serious struggles, the more existential struggles, came from inside the church itself. As the elders and the bishops, already tasked with things like preaching the gospel, teaching new members, caring for the poor, they were given the additional task of defending the teachings of Scripture over and against those who sought to teach a different gospel, and in the process, a different Jesus. Among these issues faced by the church, and there were many, was the question of what do we do with the Old Testament? Now, most Christians, both Jew and Gentile, were familiar with the writings of the Old Testament, these books being older and more widely available in the early decades of the church than the writings of the apostles. However, there remained a problem. The writings of the Old Testament seemed to be extremely focused on the sons of Abraham, that is, the tribes of Israel and those who descended from them. Then there was the matter of the law of Moses. I mean, what was a Gentile Christian supposed to do with all that stuff? The law, the prophets, the writings, these all seemed to focus on the Jews. It was sometimes hard to see what they meant to those believers who weren't Jewish. Should these books be used, gotten rid of, modified, read in a different way than they had been for hundreds of years? Now, in the first couple centuries of Christianity, many different answers to these questions were offered up. There was a group called the Judaizers, made up of Jewish Christians, who taught that in order to be a Christian, Gentiles had to observe the Old Testament laws, diet, circumcision, all the rest. St. Paul explicitly writes against these people and their beliefs vehemently in the book of Galatians. Then there was another guy, an aspiring church leader in Rome, whose name was Marcion, and he taught that the God of the Old Testament was different than the God of the New Testament, and that the entire Old Testament, along with the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, John, and most of the epistles, needed to be thrown out in order to understand the gospel correctly. And then there were the Gnostics, this diverse and secretive collection of groups, and they taught that the Old Testament was one way to understand the truth, the New Testament was another way to understand the truth, and that it was really up to the individual to become enlightened as to what the truth about God actually was. St. John himself is said to have encountered one of these teachers and supposedly wrote his gospel in part to combat the false teachings that he was spreading. And so needless to say, this caused a lot of confusion in the early centuries of the Christian church. However, God is merciful toward his people, and not content to allow his church to be led astray like lambs without a shepherd. And so, through his word and spirit, God's people were led as they have always been, by the word of God, as the apostles had preached it, which, unlike the ideas of people, endures forever. And what the apostles preached, the church continues to proclaim. And we read it, or we hear it, in St. Paul's words to us today from Ephesians chapter 3, where St. Paul writes to us, "When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mysteries of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. You see, it's not that the Old Testament is the Jewish book and the New Testament is the Christian book. It all belongs to Christ. It points to Him. It's about Him. And He is the author. It is, in effect, not two testaments, but one. It is the testament to God's love for His creation, His compassion for fallen humanity, His promise to redeem His people, and this promise fulfilled in His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. From the creation account in Genesis onward, the story is that of Jesus, and Scripture is given to those who acknowledge Jesus Christ as God and Lord. To them, to us, is given the power to see the work of Christ within all of its pages, the proclamation and foretelling of the gospel and the law, the prophets, the writings of the Old Testament, and to understand, as Jesus tells His disciples when He's on the road to Emmaus, all the things in God's Word that point to Him. This is what we mean when we talk about the biblical canon. Properly speaking, the canon doesn't refer to the list of books that are included in the Bible. Rather, it refers to what those books proclaim and how they are read as the unified proclamation of the Son of God. And to have the canon means that you hear the voice of Christ and the preaching of the apostles within every page of His holy and precious Word. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, there is one God, and He never changes. His Word never changes. His promise never changes. The promise that He made to mankind immediately after the fall into sin, that He would send a Savior to redeem mankind, that promise was for you. His promise to Abraham that He would grant him a child and that through him all the nations of the world would be blessed. That promise was for you. The promise that the wandering in exile would end and that we would one day be brought home where God would dwell with us in justice and righteousness. That promise is for you. As St. Paul tells us in our reading this morning, the old lines between Jew and Gentile no longer exist in the eyes of God, as we have been grafted into His mercy by faith through the preaching of the gospel. Just as Abraham was saved by faith, and also Moses, Elijah, and all the rest of the Old and New Testament saints. Over the millennia, many have been brought into this promise of God. Others have rejected Him and removed themselves from it. But the promise itself never changed. The promise of a Savior, born in Bethlehem, who would suffer, die, and rise for the sins of the entire world. It's not an accident, then, that in Matthew's gospel, the first people to worship Jesus were not Jews. They weren't prophets or holy men. They were these pagan philosophers and magicians from the Far East. They were the first to treat Jesus in a manner befitting His station as God and King, worshiping Him, giving Him gifts that were reserved for royalty, which an average man could not have afforded even after a lifetime of saving. Gold, fitting to adorn the head and the clothes of a king. Incense, acknowledging Jesus as the high priest who makes the sacrifice and is our advocate with the Father, asking the Father to show us grace and mercy. And myrrh, an oil used to anoint the bodies of the dead prior to burial, acknowledging that Jesus is the true sacrifice, the one who would bear the sins of His people and carry them to the cross. The first to recognize who Jesus was, to proclaim Him not only as Savior, but as God and Lord, weren't the Jewish religious leaders and the scholars of the Torah. They weren't even Jesus' disciples. They were these Gentile pagans who, even if they didn't fully understand the one to whom the star had led them, nevertheless proclaimed the gospel with their gifts and experienced, as St. Paul writes, the unsearchable riches of Christ preached to the Gentiles. One can only imagine the report that they brought home when they left. We're not told anything about them after their short part of the narrative in Matthew chapter 2, but I can only hope that the magnificent palaces and temples of their homeland looked rather drab and gray compared to the glory that they'd witnessed in Bethlehem. Having stood in the presence of their true king, a king their people had never before known, but who nevertheless had been born and would eventually die to make them heirs in the Father's kingdom. There are, after all, no second-class citizens in heaven. There are no stepchildren. There are no half-brothers. There are no cousins once removed. There are only sons, full heirs of the kingdom of God, made so through the preaching of the gospel and the faith that holds on to Christ, the faith held by Abraham and delivered to the saints at the Pentecost. The same faith given to you through the same gospel proclaimed by the same word. Although we may divide it up into Old Testament and New Testament, it is nothing less than the unified proclamation of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the entire world, whether Jew or Gentile, who welcomes everyone who calls upon his name in true faith. This same Jesus now gives himself to you in his own body and blood, once shed upon the cross, as your place in the kingdom of God is confirmed and your faith strengthened and uplifted. And so thanks be to God, the Father of Jesus Christ and Father of us all, who through his unchanging word has turned us from being his enemies and instead made us into his beloved children. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand for the offertory. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For humble and grateful hearts enlightened by the gospel, that we would always bow down and worship the King and willingly offer him the most precious gifts we have to give, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church, that God's people may be united in doctrine, live in harmony and peace, and labor together to bring the light of Christ to those still dwelling in darkness and death, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For leaders, that they may serve honorably. For pastors and missionaries, that they may proclaim the saving truth of God's word without fear. And for those who hear, that they may be brought to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the leaders of the nations, that God would endow them with justice and fill them with wisdom, compassion, and care. And that, unlike Herod, they would seek to uphold life and watch over the welfare of the governed. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who need the comfort of the Lord's presence, healing according to his will, relief of suffering, and an end to the terrors of mind and heart, especially those for whom our prayers have been requested, Alice, Margaret, Charlotte, Bernetta, Mary Ellen, Gary, Bill, Bryston, Joe, Kim, Andrew, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Michael, Ray, Lane, Chelsea, Norma, Dan, Ron, Renee, JD, Holly, and the family of Elaine Teege, and those we name in our hearts, that he would sustain the weary with his word, the wounded with hope, and the dying with peace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For peace and unity among the members of Christ's body, that we may see the day when no divisions prevent us from kneeling in the Lord's presence and receiving this blessed sacrament, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
May your light shine on us
and bring forth the fruits of repentance in our daily lives. Give us confidence in your word, that we would embrace your holy will without fear. Hear and answer us, we pray, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, hosanna, hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Now may the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in true faith into life everlasting. Go in his joy and in his peace. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
We sing our closing hymn number 412.